Shall we pray? Father, we pray that you will take my words this morning and minister to every heart who is listening in. God bless each one. God bless us here. God bless Cornerstone Bible Church. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Over 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, three crosses stood on the horizon where three men were being crucified. Two of these men were criminals being crucified for the crimes that they had committed against the Roman government. But the man on the middle cross was Jesus, the Son of God, the one who had committed no crime at all, but was condemned by the Roman authorities, by the Jewish people. He was not guilty, but he was pronounced guilty. They led him from the Garden of Gethsemane to the high priest, and they examined him. Then they sent him to a man by the name of Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor, and he examined the Lord Jesus, and he made this statement, "I find no fault in him." One of the criminals, one of the men on the cross said this, "We are receiving the due rewards of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, we have the account of the centurion, Roman guard, dressed in his uniform, standing beside the cross where Jesus died. He said this, I'm going to read verse 47. "So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly, this was a righteous man.'" No one could accuse Jesus of sin. Oh yes, the Romans, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they all condemned him to death. They were trying to kill him. Throughout his ministry, but all scripture, both the Old and New Testament, bears the truth that Jesus was the sinless Son of God, the perfect one, Son of Man. Jesus was born to die. That was the purpose for which he came. The one thing that Jesus came to do, and this is the message that I have for you this morning, he came to die on that cruel cross for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, shed his blood on the cross for our sins. But in order to die, Jesus had to be born. And we celebrate Christmas. I had the privilege of speaking on Christmas, on that Sunday, a few months ago, about the Lord Jesus and how he was born. And I used the illustration, the crib, the cross, and the crown. Some of you may remember that message. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And he grew up to be a young man, to be a boy. But in order to go to the cross, He had to become a baby to celebrate, and we celebrate his birth. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And we have the account of that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 to 39. The Spirit of God devotes 13 verses of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and explaining that she was going to have a baby. And she submitted to that. She said, "Lord, so be it." Again, let me say that the Lord Jesus needed to become a man in order to bear our sins on the cross. The sinless man of God, in order to deal with the greatest tragedy of all time, when sin entered the human race, Jesus was born in Bethlehem to Mary. He grew up as a boy in Nazareth, the oldest son of Mary and Joseph. At the age of 12, our Lord Jesus went with his parents to the temple in Jerusalem. We have record of that in the Gospel of Luke. Then from there, as he began his ministry at 30 years of age, he went to the Jordan River where he was baptized by John the Baptist. From there he was sent by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The ministry of our Lord Jesus, of teaching and preaching and healing, raising people from the dead, is all recorded for us in the four Gospels. Throughout his ministry, our Lord Jesus revealed God the Father. He demonstrated that God the Father had sent him to be the Son of God, the Son of Man. And throughout Scripture, we have the promise of the Messiah, the seed of the woman, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I'm going to read this verse here. Here we have the first mention of the coming of the Messiah. Let me read it. God said to Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the first mention of the cross. I want to take you to another passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. Here we have, throughout the Old Testament, we have the types and pictures of Calvary. God said to Abraham in chapter 22, he said, Abraham said, "Hear my Lord." And he said, "I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and I want you to take him to the land of Moriah. And I want you to offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham was obedient, and he took Isaac and the men with him to Mount Moriah. But by the way, Mount Moriah was Calvary, the place of the skull. And as they were going up the mountain, Isaac spoke to his dad, and he said, "Father, he said, look, here we have the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." What a picture of Calvary. God the Father provided the burnt offering in the person of his son. I want to take you to another passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 53, where we have another wonderful picture of the cross of Jesus. Isaiah writes these words in verse 4, 5, and 6. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God and smitten. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." In verse 6 we read these words, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And I want you to notice this last part of verse 6. Jesus suffered at the hands of men, cruel men, religious men, put Jesus on the cross. But I want you to tell you this morning that God put Jesus on the cross. God the Father. Look at verse 6, the last part of verse 6 of Isaiah 53. "The Lord hath laid on him," our Lord Jesus, God the Father, "laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all." Jesus not only suffered at the hands of evil men who crucified him, the Roman soldiers nailed him to a cross. I want us to go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 33, the Gospel of Mark, where we have the account of Jesus dying on the cross. I'm going to read a few verses here, beginning with verse 33 of Mark 15. "Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is by translation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Beloved, I want to say to you this morning that God crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. Oh yes, he was taken by wicked hands and nailed to a cross, and he suffered the agonies of that cross, the thorn, the crown of thorns on his head, the nails in his hands, the spear in his side. But I want to tell you something this morning, that Jesus suffered on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the earth. That's because a holy God was meting out the judgment of our Lord Jesus Christ, judgment upon him for our sins. I'm going to take you now to one of my favorite verses found in 2 Corinthians, and chapter 5. That's the fifth chapter. If I can find it here in my Bible, just hold on a minute. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read this verse. It is one of the most important verses in all of Scripture, because here we read, let me read it for you, verse 21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Let me just pause for a moment here. Here we see God the Father. Took his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, the one who was perfect, sinless, to be sin for us, for you and for me, for all of humanity. Jesus died for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Beloved, there's only one way to be right with God. And that is to acknowledge our sin, to repent of our sin, to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for putting your Son on the cross to die for my sin, for our sins." And then, of course, he didn't remain in the tomb. He was buried in the tomb. But on that first Sunday, on that Resurrection Sunday, some ladies, as Pastor Steve has already said, on that first day of the week, very early in the morning, verse 1 of chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb to bring spices, which they had prepared. And notice verse 2, "But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went on in and did not find the body of Jesus. But there was two men stood by them in shining garments. And they said, 'He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rose again from the dead.'" Today, beloved, we have a living Savior. We have a Savior who went to Calvary's cross, and there he suffered and bled and died, not only at the hands of wicked men, but at the hands of a holy God who meted out the judgment of our sin on Jesus. Have you trusted him today? Will you come to him? Maybe you're a Christian. I trust that, I'm sure many of you are who are listening in this morning. You're listening in. And you've learned afresh and anew. Probably most of what I've said to you this morning, you've already heard before. But Jesus took your sin and my sin on the cross. He paid the penalty so that we could be right with God, so that we could have our sins forgiven, and so that we could live a life for the glory of God until he comes. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this privilege of being here this morning, coming into the homes of people at Cornerstone and elsewhere. We pray your blessing upon everyone who has heard this message and this service. Lord, help us to rededicate our lives to you, to serve you with all of our hearts for the glory of your name and for the salvation of sinners who still need to trust the Savior. We ask in his name, amen.